This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church. By the way, this is Paul's very first letter. And so as he's writing this letter, he says, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." Paul is writing this to a group of people. He loves them. This was one of his first churches. He had a great experience there. He reached out to them. And so now he's writing them and he's saying, man, he said, if you stand fast in the Lord, this was his life's mission to reach people. And he's reaching people that nobody's reaching. And so he's out there. It's not like there was a bunch of missionaries or there weren't denominations. He's going into areas where they'd never heard the gospel before. And he's sharing. And so many of these people had come out. Many have come out just of idol worship. And they worshiped all these. And boy, they had some really wild stuff that they worshiped. But he said, but you're now worshiping the true God, the living God. And so but they were also getting some pressure. And some pressure from the people around them. Some pressure from relatives. Some pressure from people who were not happy with the decision. And so the pressure is to back away from a decision. To drift away, to back off, to renounce it. And he said, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. So here's one of the things we talked about, and I won't take the time to go through it, but we read verses 1 through 8 of the third chapter of Thessalonians, and when Paul was talking, he said, he talked about their faith a lot. He said, I sent to know your faith. I sent to know what you believe. They were going through problems, but he never asked about their problems. He said, yeah. He said, I know you're going through problems. He basically said, I told you this was going to happen. It's interesting that, especially if you'll follow the life of Paul, he made no bones about it. He just simply said, hey, if you're going to become a Christian, you will catch some persecution for that. Now, some of you can experience that. Some of you know that. Some of you have grown up, and Joy grew up in a family when she grew up very Catholic. How many of you have a Catholic background? And so oftentimes, those of you from a Catholic background know that if you leave the Catholic Church, they're not happy about that. And Joy's mom was very, very upset with her because she left the Catholic Church. You say, well, what happened? Well, she stayed with what she felt like God had for her. We got married. Now her mom comes and sits on the front row on Sundays. It works out real well. It took a little bit. It took a little bit. She had to get past me, but it worked out. But there was some time there where there's some persecution coming. How many of you just I'm interested. How many of you came from a home where you're like one of the first Christians in your home? Any of you catch flack for that? Yeah, it's like. Oh, and you get all kinds. You get what? Did you join a cult? What? Here's one of the good ones. Oh, you're too good for us now. You ever get that one? Oh, I guess you're just a do-gooder. Yeah, actually I am. I have become a do-gooder, but I didn't do good on my own. The Lord did something good in me, and so now this is an outward reflection of what's already taken place in my life. And so, and I think what we find out, especially with family, is can't argue with them, can't browbeat them. You know what your best answer for family members that are not happy with your decision to walk with Christ? Stay with Him. Stay with Him. And how many of you could say some of your family has come in since you've come in? And that's a blessing. And so what happens is often, is if you'll just stay, don't get upset, don't argue with them, don't tell them they're crazy, don't tell them they're all going to hell. That's not a good tactic. you just keep loving them, and keep living for Him. Amen. And I tell you what happens is, like I said, they may call you all kinds of names, but they'll call you at midnight when problems hit, and they'll call you and go, would you pray for me? And we just keep the light on for you. I think it was Motel 6 says, we keep the light on for you. Hey, as believers, we're going to keep the light on for you. And so we're going to keep the light shining, keep it on. So Paul's writing to them. He said, you stand fast in the Lord. He wanted to know about their faith. And I thought it was interesting. He wanted to know more about what they were believing than what they were dealing with. Sometimes, oftentimes, I'm down here on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, and I'm praying with folks. And let me stop and just tell you this right now. I think sometimes we belabor the problem too much. And often, almost you can loop a problem. Do you know what I mean by looping it? you just go over it, and then you go over it again. And you go over it again, and you go over it again. And I finally had to stop people and go, what are we going to pray about? I hear the problem. I heard it the first time. And I'm not trying to be rude. But focusing on the problem is not going to get us anywhere. We need to focus on what we believe. Do you believe God can help you in this? I don't know. Well, then that's where we need to start right there. Can he do something about this? And so what happens is, Paul wasn't asking them about the problem. He couldn't say, no, I hear some of y'all are going through this. And he just said, no, you're going through some stuff. He said, I sent to know what you believed. And what we believe is so important. So you're going through difficulties. Everybody's going through difficulties. Everybody's, if I did a poll in here of who here has problems, then all the hands go up. And whether they're big or small, everybody's got one or two or more. And so the idea is not so much what problems do you have as what do you believe about them. And what you believe about them is important. So Paul was talking to them about that. He said, I wanted to know your faith. He said, Timothy brought back news of your faith and your love, and it comforted him. So Timothy had gone to them. He sent Timothy to them to encourage them, to establish them. Now, it wasn't going to make all their problems go away, but Paul knew this. He knew that your faith can keep you strong in the middle of adversity. And that your faith in the middle of adversity, you don't have to go in and out. You don't have to go up and down. You can stay steady. And so Paul knew, hey, if I can get you guys believing the right things, if I can get you established, and if I can get you encouraged, how many of you do know this? And I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd that came in the rain. So I'll at least get a semi-amen on this. You do better when you're in church and you're hearing God's word over and over and over again than when you drop out for a while. When you drop out for a while, you're like, oh, you preachers, you're always wanting people to come to church. Yes, 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 we are. Because we recognize that what you hear here, will help you and establish you. And when you leave, because a lot of times, how many of you heard something today that just wasn't real encouraging? Maybe you work with it. It could be right next door to you in your cubicle, and you're thinking, oh. And then you get a phone call on the way back, and you're like, And you come into church, you're like, I'd better hear something good that will help me. Well, here's the deal. If your faith is encouraged, if your faith is established, then you can deal with all the other problems. Your faith gets weak, they get bigger. How many of you know when your faith is stronger, problems aren't as big? We're going to go tonight. Let's just have fun. You came out. How many of you know the state that you're in when you get up in the morning and you look at your garage and you go, I'm going to clean this garage. How many of you know you are strong? When you look at your garage and go, I'm going to clean this thing. I'm going to clean the whole thing. Everyone's like, whoa, what got into you? What? You got some strength to do that. Because how many of you know a lot of times you get up, you look at the garage, you go, oh, no, not today. No, I don't want to deal with that. But how many of you know oftentimes when your fellowship with the Lord is good and when you've been spending time with him, and you're in church, you're hearing words, you're hearing things that are encouraging you. You've got people that are encouraging you. When you face problems, your ability to face them is enhanced. And so the idea, and this is one of the reasons I know the value of church. I came to the Lord, I fell away from the Lord. One of the key reasons was I had no Christian fellowship. We need friends. You need Christian friends. If you don't have Christian friends, get in one of our groups or get in one of our serving teams. But you need somebody that you can say, hey, would you pray with me about this? Hey, would you? I've been going through this and I've been thinking this. You need somebody and go, oh, no, no, you're thinking wrong. You need to think along these lines. You need someone like that. If you're going through marriage problems, you need people in your life who have come through marriage problems and believe that marriage is good. Not that guy you work with. That his fifth wife kicked him out. And he's like, all women, you can't live with them, can't live without them. You need a different voice. No, seriously, how many of you know if you listen to that too much? And then you got his buddies like, yeah, I tell my wife, you better just straighten up or I'm gonna hit you. Great, that's great. That classy guy. That's the kind of people you need to hang out with. No, those are the kind of people you need to bring here on Easter so they can get saved. So their life can change. But you don't need to be listening to them. For real. For real. I'm not joking. Thank you. All right. Paul practiced. He practiced what he preached. I'm just recap Philippi. He's in Philippi. He and Silas are in the town of Philippi, big port city, a lot of activity in Philippi. Philippi's kind of like a Houston, pretty big brawling city, and a little demon-possessed girl who made her masters a lot of money by fortune-telling walked around and screamed after them day after day. These men are servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. Finally, Paul got tired of it and turned around and in the name of Jesus, he delivered the girl, cast the demon out of the girl. The girl can no longer tell fortunes. And so her masters lost money and had Paul and Silas, they stripped their clothes off of them and beat them with rods. And you know that hurt. And then put them in a prison, put their feet in stocks so that they can't move, their backs and legs and all their backsides is just beaten with rods. And the Bible said that in prison, so here's a bad situation, they're in prison, there's pain, they can't call their attorney. They can't call a relative to get them out. So they don't know really when they're getting out. They just know they're in a nasty prison and they're hurting. And in the middle of nasty, bad environment and they're hurting, in the middle of that pain, they begin to pray and sing praises to God, which is an amazing thing, which tells us that even in the middle, now listen, obviously Paul is up there on people we want to be like. Say, I don't know, are you just like Paul? No, but I think, that's the direction I want to go. I want to go the direction of a guy who in the middle of his back beaten, in the middle of a dark prison, can still pray and sing praises to God. That's a good direction. So he's in there, which indicates that he can still stand strong. And really with Paul, you get a little bit of a sensing of, one, that it's possible to keep faith when you're confined to negative circumstances. You can still keep your faith. Number two, it's possible to keep faith when you've been treated unjustly. Paul was a Roman citizen. He should never have been beaten as an uncondemned. Roman citizenship in that day was extremely valuable. In fact, if you were a Roman citizen, they could not, by Roman law, beat you uncondemned. They had to put you in front of a court and you had to be guilty, had to be by a court accounted guilty before you could be beaten. So what they did was they beat him as a Roman citizen and Silas too. And that was unjust. So you got these guys sitting there in prison. They were beaten unjustly. They could have been thinking, oh, this is just not right. We're in this pain. We're in this darkness. It's nasty. It's here. And they're not even supposed to have done this to us. And you could see there's a lot of reasons these guys could have been shaken, moved. And they're praying and singing praises. And the Bible said, and suddenly there was an earthquake. Now, this was a God earthquake. I know you see in insurance that when an earthquake comes, it's an act of God. No. This earthquake was an act of God because everyone's chains fell off and the prison's doors flew open. God's acts set free. Satan's acts bind. So they were free and actually the jailer was going to kill himself and they talked him out of it and he came in and said, what do I need to do to get saved? Won the whole family. Paul gives us some insight as to his perspective. 2 Timothy 1st chapter verse 12. And this is key. Maybe this is one of the key verses of this whole little mini-series. For this reason, I also suffer these things, Paul said. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. That's a wonderful verse. And it's a simple verse, but don't miss it. Because Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Oftentimes people talk Christianity and they say, well, Christianity is like all these other religions. No. It's not. They may have wise sayings and they may have traditions and they may have things that they do in dogma, but they're not alike because the one we believe in has been raised from the dead. And I know whom I believe. I don't just know what. We're not just in Christianity because it has wisdom and nice sayings. We're in there because we know someone. Paul said, I have a relationship with someone. I know whom I believed. You know, often when people say, well, you're just a Christian. And listen, don't be ashamed of that. But don't let them shame you at all, because we know whom we believe. And we know that one day we'll stand before him and everything we've done for him, we will have no regrets, zero regrets for any of it. But we're not just talking about what we know, we're talking about who we know. And this is why Paul, in the middle of a prison, is able to worship like that. Let me go through one more story. And it's a story of, can you keep faith through a major storm? Acts 27 chapter, Paul is on a boat, he's heading for Rome. And he didn't have a good feeling about this, but they got in the boat and they took off. And as soon as they took off, a storm hit. And it's a bad one. It said in verse 20 through 26, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. In effect, guys, what they're in is a hurricane. But after long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Paul had a perception of impending doom. They were getting ready to get on this ship and this... Go ahead, Carrie, put that one up there. Acts 27:10. This is Paul. He said this ahead of time. He said, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Now, Paul didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I had a perception. So real interesting things about being led of the Lord right there. How many of you have ever had something that you would call a gut feeling? That you had something you just perceive, you're like, I don't have a good feeling about this. I don't feel like this is going to turn out right. You know, it can also work on the other side. You've had a gut feeling that it is going to turn out okay. I remember when I was, I had an operation on my eye a number of years ago, and they had to go in behind my eyeball, which is like not cool, and take it out and dig out some areas. And when I woke up, they told me that one of the side effects was that I could see double. And I remember waking up, and the first thing I saw was two joys. I'm like, oh boy. And so she had to drive home with me in the car. That was not a good experience either. Her driving and me in the passenger seat, seeing double. I'm like, ah. And I got home. We were supposed to go on vacation. I was actually supposed to start a sabbatical, which is a fancy word for a long preacher vacation. And we're getting ready to start, and I kept having double vision. Well, how many of you know it's hard with double vision to drive? So you're closing one eye, then you lose depth perception. And so I'm starting to get concerned. Plus, just the idea of being double vision is very disconcerting. And so Joy and I were talking about it. We were praying about it, and I can tell you where I was standing. I was standing in the kitchen. I was standing right by the garbage can. And all of a sudden had a perception. I just knew it's going to be all right. Oh, I love it when that happens. It's going to be all right. I've had them both ways. I've had a perception that things were going to go bad, and I've had a perception that things were going to go good. And within a few days, the double vision cleared up, and I don't have double vision anymore. I'm thankful for the Lord's healing me of double vision. They were going to have to do another operation. No bueno. Once you've been behind my eyeball once, it's all we need. And so the idea is you've got a perception. Paul had a perception. He said, this is going to be bad, guys. Basically, what he's saying is, we're all going to die. Now, when he says that, then it makes more sense to understand why Paul and everybody else had given up hope. He already knew. This is going to be a bad voyage. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on. He's saying, don't do it. In fact, Paul said, don't go. Don't do this trip. They went anyway. So now he is on a voyage, and it's somebody else's responsibility. Now listen to me real quickly. Sometimes I have people say, Alan, I've married so-and-so, they did this, and now I'm in the middle of this situation, and it's not my fault. And basically what you're saying is, I'm on someone else's ship, and it's going down. Could God help you in that kind of situation? The answer is absolutely yes. But you, like Paul, will need to hear, you're going to have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to give me a word, because I need help. This thing's going, it's not my responsibility, but I'm on this ship and it's going down. And an angel stood beside Paul and said, Paul, I got good news for you. God's given you and everybody on this ship. There are some of you right now who are saving your entire households because God is helping you and everybody associated with you. Keep praying for them. They're on your ship. They can make a difference. Paul is there, and he's lost hope, but then an angel stands by. And I love what Paul said. He said, the God to whom I belong and who I serve. He said, his angel stood and said and gave him a word. Now, things have changed. Paul has just had a word. So now Paul has a reason to stand up and say to these people, take heart, men, because I believe God that it's going to be exactly as it was told me. Now, right there is a classic phrase that you can put in your life, is to find out what has God told you, and then you can take heart, and you can be encouraged. And Paul said, we're going to come through this. You say, well, Alan, an angel appeared to Paul. Yeah, because that was a dramatic situation. Most of us don't need an angel. We have his word, and we have his Holy Spirit that can give us something. In the middle of something difficult, we can stand up and go, I believe we're going to come through this. When my daughter had a child and the things were so bad, horrible pregnancy, what we had to, Joy and I, had to keep standing on and helping them stand on is what God spoke to us. And I'm praying they're in the middle of it. They're at ICU and the NICU, and there's wires and there's things coming out all over. When you're in that kind of situation, you need to hear something more than just what the doctors are saying. Amen. You need to hear, what is God saying to you? And I remember I got up one morning and the Lord spoke to my heart, and the word quickened. That he will quicken my grandson. That he will quicken his body. So I texted Joy that verse that the Spirit of God will quicken our mortal body. So what did I do? I just gave Joy something that I really believe I was impressed by the Spirit of the Lord. So now Joy's got a reason to go in there and start telling Christina and telling Josh, we're going to stand for this child. This child is not going to be brain damaged. This child is not going to have problems because God is quickening our child. Does that make sense? Do you understand what we're saying? That here came a word, and so now Joy. So every time they would come around that child, they'd lay hands on that child, they'd pray for that child. Lord, that child is being quickened. He is being quickened. He's being quickened. And we get reports all the time, you know, that this is our only grandson. I have one daughter, so I get more pictures of this child than it's amazing. But what is totally amazing was all the physical therapists, and everyone has told us, this child is exactly developmentally exactly where he needs to be. In fact, he's a little bit advanced. Quickened. Why? Because in the middle of a storm, we got a word. Paul, in the middle of a hurricane, can you imagine that? You're in the hurricane, you're on a sailing ship. They've thrown the sail over, you're just being tossed about. Paul's probably standing on a mast. This is not a stable situation. He's like, hey, y'all be encouraged. Because I believe God that it's going to be exactly as it was told me. That's what a classic faith statement. To be able to look at your family and say, be encouraged. I believe God that our family is going to come through. Be encouraged. I believe God that our marriage can make it. Be encouraged. I believe God that we're going to come through this sickness. Be encouraged. I believe God that we're coming through this difficult time. Do you see the difference there? Paul is saying that even in the middle of difficult times where it's so easy to be shaken, he said, I believe God that it's going to be exactly as it was told me. So obviously, one of the things that when you're going through a difficult time, that's not the time to put down your Bible. That's the time to pick it up. That's not the time to stay out of church. That's the time to go. Because I might say something, just, and you know me, I'll go off track and say something. And it may be exactly what you need to hear. So that you stand up and look at everyone around you in the middle of the storm and go, hey, be encouraged, because I believe, God, that it's going to be exactly like it was told me. See, the world waits, the world without God, they wait. They wait to see how it's going to turn out. They wait and see if things are going to change. They wait and see. In fact, there's some people that will tell you, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. You ever heard that one? That's not a scripture. There's no scriptural premise for that. Anyone can wait and see something happen and then believe it. We're people who believe it before we see it. We're people who believe we're coming through before things change. We're people who believe that God can heal a baby boy before we get the prognosis from the therapist. Do you see what I'm saying? We believe before. And this is how you stay steady. Life comes, life sends trouble. What do you believe in the middle of it? Paul said something that was really powerful. He said this in Acts, the 20th chapter, kind of gives us a perspective of Paul. Paul said he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He said, only thing I know is that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. I like what he says next. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Man, I love that. Paul's getting words. Paul, I got a word for you, brother. Wouldn't you love that? I got a word for you. They're going to throw you in prison and beat you. It's going to be good. God bless you. How many of you know you get a word like that and you're like, I'm not going. I'm going to stay right here. You're getting ready to go. Somebody says, it's going to be hard. I love what he said. He said, none of these things move me. But then he gives us a key. He said, and I don't count my life dear to myself. So Paul's basically saying is, man, I'm more focused on what I've got to do in life than my own comfort in life. And that was an awesome thing. Here's one last thought, and I'll close with this. We've got just a few minutes. Another perspective that'll help us is what I call the value of vision. How do you stay steady? How do you stay strong in the middle of a difficult time? You need the right vision. Proverbs 29:18, look at this. This is in the NIV. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom as instruction. If you know this verse from the King James, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. But this one says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. What he's saying is, so here's my point. When you get a revelation of who you are, it's easy to stay steady. When you get a revelation that you're not just some second-class Christian, that you've been made in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God in Christ, that you're God's child, that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, when you begin to recognize that you're not the cursed, you're the blessed. When you get a revelation of the fact that you can stand before the Lord without a sense of guilt and inferiority. When you begin to get a sense that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you find out that you're not a child of darkness, you're a child of the light and a child of the day. When you get this revelation, the more that revelation comes in you, the easier it is to walk in a different way. Does that make sense? When you know who you are, it's easier to walk in a different way. And you begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. I'm not just some poor, struggling, second-rate Christian. And that's what the enemy will tell you. He said, oh, you are second-rate. You're a third-tier Christian. You know, Alan, he's a second-tier Christian. Joyce, like, first-tier. And you'll never get there. And the thing about it is, all of that is wrong. Because in Christ, There is no male, there is no female, there is no slave, there is no free, but Christ is all and in all. And so when you begin to realize, I am just as much in Christ as Alan is, as Joy is, as Justin is, as anybody I know is, Billy Graham was, I'm just as much in Christ, and you begin to realize that, you get a revelation of that, you begin to realize, I can walk worthy of God, I can live this life. I don't care what my family says. I don't care if they look at you and go, we never liked you. You never were our favorite child. You could go, I may not be your favorite child, but I'm God's favorite child. And because I'm His favorite child, I got good things going on. When you get the stronger that revelation gets, the easier it is to stand and you don't get so moved. So what happens is problems hit. You don't think, dear God, I'm just going to go get high. Dear Lord, I'm going to go pull a drunk. Instead of going to that place, say, how would you know that, Alan? Because I've been there. Come on, y'all are Wednesday night. Y'all know all my stories. Y'all know that. But here's the deal. When you realize, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to run for anything else. I don't have to fall out of church. I don't have to go just and go backslide for 3 months and be miserable and then come back and then fall again and then come back. I can stand fast because God is in me. He is helping me. I'm His child. He loves me. I'm coming through this. And you get a revelation of that. And you can say bye-bye to the bong. You can say bye-bye to the drugs. You can say bye-bye to the pornography. You can say bye-bye to a lot of stuff because you begin to realize, man, you can't hold me down. I know who I am, and I know what God's done in me. I live. As a pastor, I can just tell you, man, I live if you guys stand fast in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your mercy and your love, because without your grace, none of us stand. But Lord, your grace has been poured out on us, and by faith, we have access into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we thank you for that. I thank you for every individual here, every family that's represented. I thank you, Father, that you continue and enlighten the eyes of their understanding, that they might know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards those that believe. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you that we get a greater revelation that we can stand, and not only stand, but we can help hold others up in the process. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening, if you came in the rain, you said, Alan, I'm not sure I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't know that I have one. Or you're saying, I used to have one, and man, I came tonight because I want that restored. I want to get back to Him. Would you pray for me? I will be glad to do that. In fact, we'll pray with you right now. I need you to do one thing. Just simply acknowledge that by an uplifted hand. Say, Pastor, that is me that you're talking to. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. See all those hands up. Thank you. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you lifted your hand, you pray this with us out loud. If you did not lift your hand, you wanted to, but you didn't do it. That's all right. That's all right. Listen, you can pray this prayer right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, thank you for those that acknowledged with an uplifted hand. And Father, for those that prayed it right out of their hearts. I thank you, Lord, that they are saved. I thank you, Father, that they belong to you. I thank you that they can stand fast in you, as can all of us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.